We've taken two of the three phases of the Christian faith as Peter presents it. The first being the participation with the divine nature. Have you ever heard, if you asked anybody if they're a Christian, have you ever heard them say, "Yes, I am a participant with the divine nature of God Himself"? That's what it means, biblically. And then, by having this participation or this interaction, it's in the spiritual growth process where His very qualities, His very nature, become the influence on my life. I become in the image of the Son of God, and that's what God's will is for my life. Not that I personally become the image of Christ, but it's Christ who takes over the influence of my life, changes me to where people see His image and not mine. At least, that's the whole nature of it. And realize that this growth process is not an intellectual process or stage. This is where you have a personal relationship with the nature of God Himself and His person, His nature, His quality has influence and transformed ministry to us and through us. It can involve the mind. I'm not discouraging memorization of Scripture or any of that. I'm just saying that there are some people, that's all they do without a relationship with Christ or much of one. In pages 6 and 7, at the top of page 7, we're still in the presentation of the gospel and the phases of the Christian faith. Now in verses 8 through 11, the participation in the entrance to heaven. And some of you might not know what the Bible teaches about entrance into heaven for the believer. Both Peter and Paul. Paul taught it more extensively and more in detail that we'll see in a moment. But there will be a difference in heaven among Christians. We will all be the same spiritually. We'll all have a spiritual body, and we will all be the same, but we're going to be different in development. So as we begin with verse 8, he says, "For if these things exist in you and are abounding," the word "be" and the word "abound" are participles that shows continuous action. If these stages of growth are existing in you and they are increasing, they make you that you shall be neither barren, that is, idle, nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to know Him. But when it says you will not be idle nor unfruitful, I don't know if you've ever been in that time in your Christian walk where you just felt like nothing's happening, not going anywhere, like you're just idle, standing around. It doesn't seem like there's much fruit of God's Spirit. Well, Peter says, if these things, if you're going through these growth processes and you're abounding in them, you won't be idle, you won't be unfruitful, because that will be the fruit that God is producing, the changes and the growth. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Give you the literal. This person is blind, being myopic. It doesn't mean completely blind, it means nearsighted. and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In other words, he can only see himself now. The time that he was saved and forgiven for his sins was some time ago, and he's forgotten what God saved him from and what God wants to save him to. He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So there's two different kinds of Christians. One that's involved in the growth process and one that's not. And the only reason they're not is because they have forgotten who they were. You can see that in a lot of people in their approach to being with the Lord after this life. I, my sinful self, I have been forgiven for my sins because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, and I'm going to heaven because I believe in Him. That's it. No awareness of a need of change. I'm still my sinful old self, holding to a promise, if I understand it correctly. Verse 10, Peter says, "Wherefore, rather, brethren," term of affection, "give diligence," here's the word diligence again, top priority, "to make your calling and election sure," literally established. Your calling and election, if you have come to know and participate with the divine nature of God, solidify and establish your relationship with Him. Grow strong in that relationship with Him. "For if you do these things," the word "do" is literally doing, practicing. "For if you are continually doing these things, you shall never fall." The reason why it says never, because there's a double negative there. If you are doing these things, you will never fall. Verse 11, "For so an entrance shall be supplied unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Verse 11 is Paul's summary statement, or his statement in capsule form, of the climax to this last phase, participation in the entrance to heaven. The word "so" is a very important word. It's an adverb that means "in this way." "For in this way, an entrance shall be supplied to you." Remember I said in verse 5, the word "add" and this word "ministered" are the same words, the word "supply." See the catchwords. You make it priority to supply the growth in your life, your relationship with the Lord. Make it priority in your life, and the Lord's going to supply to you something. But he says, "For in this way," whichever way you are, if you are participating in the growth process and you are abounding and increasing, you will enter into heaven with an abundance. Whereas if you lack these things, where the change and transformation of this growth process is not a priority to you, and you're saved, you'll enter into heaven. You'll have the same spiritual body everybody else has, but there'll be a difference. Let me make a statement to you, and then I'm going to go to another piece of scripture. Because it's not talked about today And I honestly believe that we, in positions of leadership and ministry, we're actually doing people harm by thinking that God's going to reward us for our growth horizontally. The more people we bring in, the more buildings we build, and the bigger our work is, and the more successful it is, we're going to get a reward in heaven. Without realizing that I am going to enter into heaven with the growth transformation that takes place in my life here on earth. Which means there's going to be some believers enter into heaven with the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and a chimney. That's it. Because Paul's detail is that we, as believers, we're going to pass through the fire. Not the fire of hell, but God is going to test the development work of each person. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. You might mark these down and then read them. Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation for every believer's life. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work as to what sort it is, what kind, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. See, believers are going to suffer loss. Whatever in my life is not of Christ, whatever is not by his change and transformation, everything else is going to burn. I could be a member of 5 churches and spend every day at church doing the physical work, and if it's not led by God's Spirit, if it's not involved with God's Spirit, it means nothing. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Every man's work, every believer's work, we're going to stand before the Bema seat, the Bema seat of Christ. And, you know, I'm a conceptual person, so I kind of have to fix this in my head. If it's not this way, I'll probably be lost in heaven. I'll have this map. So can you tell me where the fire is? Because I have to go through that, you know. But I always picture it like a car wash. And how the cars get pulled down through this thing, and all of a sudden this water pours on it, and then soap, and by the time you get through, you're supposed to have a dry car, washed and clean. I always picture the water. Instead of water, it's going to be fire. Here goes the conveyor belt down the middle, and here I stand. Right down the middle. And everything is going to burn except for the work of Christ. Everything. And how I come out the other side, that's my reward. We will all be the same. We'll have spiritual bodies. One's not going to have more muscles than the other or anything like that. But we will be different. Our functions will be different in heaven. Paul goes to great lengths to tell the Christians in Corinth, who he says are carnal, You need to focus on spiritual things and growing in Christ instead of all this emotional stuff that you guys are doing. You're carnal. At the beginning of chapter 3, he called them a carnal church. 5 years ago, I fed you with milk because you were just beginners. 5 years later, I'm still feeding you with milk, and you should be eating solid food. So basically, he says you spent 5 years wasting your time. There's been no growth. And he tells them why. He says, look, this is important. Now, you can do whatever you want to do, and you think it's important, but if you build upon this foundation, who is Jesus Christ, if you build gold, silver, and precious stones, that's what you're going to have. But if it's wood, hay, and stubble, how much could wood, hay, and stubble hold up under fire? It'll be burned. I will suffer loss because it wasn't by the Spirit of Christ. It wasn't spiritual transformation and maturity. So you can see where we're heading, because in 2 Peter, when we get to chapter 3, he not only has explained spiritually what we should be doing, but also that everything we're spending most of our time in is going to burn here on the earth. So he says, what kind of people ought you to be? What should be the most important thing in your life? And even if you say, well, I don't buy it, I've never heard anybody preach that before except for you, or I've heard other people say it, but not a little different than what you said. Okay, take it as a condition. This truth possibly exists as it is taught in the Bible. Don't believe me, just read it, and you say, yeah, well, I don't believe that. Well, even if you take it as a possibility, it makes you rethink your priorities. Rather than living loose and free to do whatever we want to do and not take spiritual growth that is growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ as being very important, you've got to take in consideration, this might show up in the next life. I might come out the other side of the fire wash with a foundation and a chimney. You ever see those pictures on TV when fires sweep through neighborhoods? Some believers are going to have a foundation and a chimney. Now, they'll be glad they're in heaven, but other people are going to be more developed. In Los Angeles, in one of our studies, we had a fellow that was one of the managers down at the LA Art Museum. And he had a testimony when we were studying this. He says, very interesting. He says, if you see people come in, they have like a painting exhibit. Sometimes you can see people come in the front door, and within an hour and a half, they leave. You know, they go through, hey, I like those colors. Yeah. I don't like that picture. You know, and they just go through, right? He says, there are other people that come to LA and stay for the whole week. They're there all day long for a whole week. It's because they understand about paintings. He says, they study the brush strokes because, according to them, it's not just the picture and the colors, but the brush stroke is also an expression of the artist. And it's part of the painting. I never knew that. I just put that picture up. That's good. They study the brush strokes. It's not just because they have to. It's because they're so into it. Enjoy it so much. And there are other people that just don't understand, just don't get it. We walk through, and an hour and a half, we're gone. Some of you are saying it wouldn't take that long. But it's the same in heaven. Some people are going to be developed and will function differently than others. Which puts even more importance on seeing that the study of the Bible is not just the duty of the Christian. Okay, I should be learning the Bible. Well, I'm not putting that down, but if you think that's all it's to it, if I go to a study or church or whatever, when I leave there, I want to have been with Jesus. I want to leave different than when I went in. I want to be changed and transformed, no matter if it's just a little bit. Even though today's my birthday, I'm not looking to retire here. You understand? Retirement's in heaven. How many years do we spend working here on the earth, putting in all of our time for the goal of retiring and traveling the world and whatever we've saved for and done for? And that's the highlight of our whole life. I'm not saying you're wrong if you do that. I'm just saying if that's really what life's all about, well, I got to put in 30 years and then I can retire and then go to the Caribbean or something, you know. What a wasted life. I'm not going to retire until I get to heaven. But while I'm here, I'm getting ready to go there. All I know is I want to be as changed and as transformed as I can be by my interaction with the very divine nature of God Himself before I get there. That's my retirement. And it's permanent. And it's forever. I'm not putting down working here. I'm just saying when people say, this earthly life, they came out with a study several years ago about corporate executives. The average lifespan of a retired corporate executive was 2 years after they retired. Can you imagine? Spend your whole life working, stressing this and stressing that. Ah, finally got to retirement. 2 years. And you stand before God. See, the reason why Peter's writing the way he is we just don't get it. We don't understand that we're just wasting our time just by going through the motions. We have to take care of responsibility here on the earth, but what is our top priority? The decisions we make show what our priority is. Well, we'll pick up there next time. I apologize for being late today, but some things came up. So we will not meet next Thursday, okay? But 2 weeks from tonight, we will meet and, Lord willing, finish out 2 Peter. But I'm so glad we got the first 11 verses in. There are three phases to the Christian faith. Participation with the divine nature, participation with the spiritual growth process with His nature, and participation of our entrance into heaven. And Peter is urgent. He's going to tell us in chapter 2, because he's basically given us an outline here in the first 11 verses. But But basically in chapter 2, he's going to say false teaching is going to take you away from all three of those phases. It will not prepare you for heaven. It'll teach you to go for the horizontal here on the earth. Material things here. Just the opposite of the gospel. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you chose a language that is more exact than ours to express your truth so that we can know in detail, as detailed as you want us to know. We pray that the power of your Spirit would move through these teachings, not mine, but Peter's. We would understand that, especially in our culture, in our Western lifestyle, that we waste a lot of time spiritually by overemphasizing the things of this world and the importance of them. We pray that from Peter's inspiration, your Spirit would inspire us with his urgency to see what the Christian faith is all about. Not a participation in a religious system, but a participation and interaction with the divine nature of God himself. Quicken in us the urgency to make growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ our top priority without being irresponsible towards the things here on the earth. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.